Good evening and welcome. This is the Celebrity Apprentice podcast recap, or as I like to call it, the Cap Recap. My name is Dan, and we'll be going over every episode of Celebrity Apprentice, which is exactly what you need. But I'm not going to be doing it alone. Here with me is my co-host this week and every week, Joey. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
How excited are you that Celebrity Apprentice is back? It took a year off, and now finally we get to do this nonsense again.
I can't tell you how pumped I am. I could almost eat 15 pies right now. I'm so excited.
You know, it's funny because as I'm watching this show, and I've now watched every season of Celebrity Apprentice. I initially missed the first season, but I have gone back and seen it. It's so, every time I watch it, it's so cringeworthy. It's such a dumb show, but it's so addicting to me. I can't stop watching it. It's that kind of a thing. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And in fact, I was even thinking that tonight when I was watching, you know, what the first task was, how it was pretty similar to some of the other tasks. And I started thinking while watching the show, you know, they could probably do identical tasks in the same exact order that they always do them when it comes to Celebrity Apprentice, and it would still be gripping to see the new celebrities and the new personalities come in and deal with it.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, all right, so this week, and we're going to get into it more, but this week they do the typical fundraising task, and there's going to be several of those that happen. And some weeks they have it, and some weeks they don't have it. I don't know. What do you think about it feels like they should be doing that more often because it's always like, well, if you're the project manager, you got to be bringing the money to the table. It's always about raising money. In fact, Piers Morgan, who's one of Trump's assistants in this episode, made that abundantly clear. It's all about raising money. But then a lot of weeks, then it's not about raising money.
I think it wouldn't be fair and could potentially threaten the interest factor of the show, because you have a certain percentage of these so-called celebrities that really are so-called celebrities. They're not like real celebrities, right?
Right.
So those people aren't really going to have the contacts, you know, to be able to come in and help them raise money. And they can't even dip into their own bank account like we've seen some people do in the past, I believe. So if it was only fundraising, that might be one of those things that could hurt the show.
All right, fair enough. All right, so let's get down to what happened this week on Celebrity Apprentice. And before we do that, I just want to run down who our cast is. All right.
All right.
All right. So on the women's side, we've got Jamie Anderson. She's an Olympic gold medalist. In fact, we have two of those this year. We also have Shawn Johnson, an Olympic gold medalist. Are you familiar with either of these ladies?
I'm a little bit familiar with Shawn Johnson, but not very.
Good for you.
And the other one, I would never know.
Okay.
I don't even think I've ever heard her name.
All right. I had not heard of either of them. Then we have Vivica A. Fox. I know who she is. She's an actress. She's been around for a while. Lisa Gibbons. I think everybody knows from Entertainment Tonight. Kate Gosselin from John and Kate Plus 8. And let's see. Who else do we have on this list here? Kenya Moore, a Real Housewife of Atlanta, and also we have Brandy Glanville, who is a Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, and last but not least is Keisha Knight Pulliam, which is, of course, we all know from The Cosby Show. Two things pop out right here, Joe. Two women from The Real Housewives of blah, blah, blah are on in one season.
You know, that hurt me too. And in fact, it kind of, if you look at the whole women's cast compared to the men's cast, which you're going to get to shortly.
Yes.
They don't have the same star power overall outside of like Lisa Gibbons. And, you know, she's like the real star, I think, out of the entire group. Would you agree?
She's probably maybe the most recognizable one, universally recognizable person. Sure.
Right. Right. And you know, Vivica Fox is a name.
Yep.
And the one that's interesting, of course, is Keisha Knight Pulliam, because she has been mainstream forever. So, I mean, I know that she still works. That she does some, like, a Disney show or something. Is that right?
I'm not. She does an shoot. You know, I don't even want to say what it is that she's doing these days. I honestly don't know. The last thing that – let me see. No, I don't even have her on a TV show these days. I remember is that she showed up in Madea Goes to Jail like 5 years ago. You know, and she was playing a convict. And it was like, oh, look, it's Keisha Knight Pulliam. Oh, my goodness. Wow. And she's acting. Look at that. Right. That's amazing. Right. That's what I remember.
Right.
All right. So let's get down to before I go on, I just want to say, so far, it's going to just before even watching this episode, I'm in my head thinking, bitchiest cast of Celebrity Apprentice is coming up.
Mm.
I'm thinking that.
I was not thinking that way, but – certainly as this episode developed, I could see why you would be feeling pretty good about your prediction.
Yeah, and only it's because of the Real Housewives of blah blah blah. It's only because of those two. It's not because of anybody else. You know, I don't think the Olympians are gonna be causing a lot of trouble. I think we're gonna be okay as far as that goes. All right, so on the men's side, we have in no particular order, Johnny Damon, baseball player, World Series champion, Gilbert Gottfried, comedian, and by the way, a fellow podcaster, Gilbert Gottfried, Sig Hansen, who is he's a boat captain, right? He is on Deadliest Catch. Kevin Jonas, he's a musician, one of the Jonas Brothers. Lorenzo Lamas, who didn't watch and love Renegade back in the 1990s, right, Joe?
How about me?
Terrell Owens, wide receiver, unemployed wide receiver. Geraldo Rivera, and it's funny because he's listed as news icon.
Well, he is.
Yeah, all right, fine. And Ian Ziering. Ian, don't call me Ian Ziering.
Don't do that.
maybe that should be his new nickname. Don't call me Ian Ziering, which is great because when you read it, it will read the exact same way.
You're gonna put the two bars underneath the eye, though.
Oh yeah, I guess that would be the way to distinguish it. Oh
right,
my god!
Right.
All right, so we meet our cast, right? And they go into their separate rooms, and it's time to come up with the team names, right? Which is always just kind of silly that they need team names, but whatever. Yeah. You know, it doesn't. You know, eventually it's going to fall apart. We're going to start mixing up women and men. I don't know why we need team names, but the women come up with Infinity, and that seemed to be an okay choice for everybody. The men, Geraldo says, I think it should be Vortex, and he kind of gets an okay response to it. And however, some people don't like it, and it does not matter what they think.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
Did you want to say something?
Nope.
Okay, so on the women's side, Infinity, hasn't that been used as a name before?
It feels like it has. It does.
Yeah. I wasn't. So, anyways, whatever. Or maybe it was the perfume that they did that one season or something. But I feel like Infinity's been on this show before. But what I do like about the time that they spend in showing the development of the team name is you get to see right away, like that's your first opportunity to see who the strong personalities are and who doesn't like who for speaking up and who's going to overcome that stuff. So it's a very, very early look at how the team dynamic is probably going to work out. Would you agree?
Oh, you are absolutely right, because the whole discussion over Vortex, which was it was a minor discussion, but it was definitely a little contentious because Geraldo was pushing his way and he got some definite pushback. That's where, it's in this scene where he refers to Ian Ziering as Ian, and Ian does not take it is really shockingly offended by this.
I know.
And you see, this is the first time I think that we see Kevin Jonas having an issue with Geraldo, which he will continue to have the entire episode.
Exactly right. So but I also felt like, okay, while Geraldo was pushing that, he was definitely pushing it probably harder than I would have pushed it. I didn't think – I felt like he was coming across – to the other guys, or they were picking up that he was arrogant and pushy.
Yes.
I felt like he was just, you know, really trying to sell it to everybody, but that's not how they were receiving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. No, I honestly didn't have a problem with it. I thought Vortex was an okay name, and I kind of look at it like it's just a formality. I don't really care what you call it, as long as it's not right. As long as it's not something embarrassing. It's fine. Vortex, yeah, that's fine. Whatever you want. You want to be the Dragons, you know, you want to be the Warriors, whatever. I don't really care. You want to be the Baseball Furies, go ahead. It doesn't matter. All right, so we do see that that whole thing, though, between Kevin and Geraldo, that just – it's going to keep popping up.
Well, and also I think that – so he made an early – you know, sort of an, I don't want to call him an enemy, but he lost points early with not just Kevin, but with Ian and also with Terrell. T.O. goes, you know, well, listen, since this is Team Geraldo, why don't you be the project manager?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Right? It's a little snarky there, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Not a lot.
At least three people.
Okay. So all right, I'll get to that later on. All right, so they get the task. The task is they are going to be selling pies. There's a pie store that's called Pie Face that I need to go to the next time I go to New York. And they will take over Pie Face, and they will be able to sell two kinds of pies, a savory pie and a sweet pie. And it's all for charity. And please do yourself a favor and call up all the people that you know so you can get the donations in. Now, the added bonus to this task is that they're going to get a $25,000 addition to what they bring in from the Cake Boss. That's right. The Cake Boss is coming to town. And just as a side note, Joe, did you notice that he was driven in?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
He was driven in. You think it was because, you know, we don't want any DUI problems with the Cake Boss? You think?
Oh.
Is it wrong for me to bring that up?
Well,
is it wrong?
Yeah, they all get driven in. Come on, they all get town cars.
Listen, all I can tell you is the Cake Boss got pulled over for a DUI, and when they did, he said to them, "Do you know who I am? I'm the effing Cake Boss," which is amazing, and I'll never get over that.
You know, that reminds me, because of the Cosby stuff that continues to get mentioned on this show, as we're going to talk about.
Yes.
When was this show shot?
This show, it's good. All right, good that you bring it up, because because the Cosby factor, because Keisha Knight Pulliam is the other project manager, and she does not make the call to Bill Cosby, and that it becomes a huge issue. The thing is, this was filmed at least a year ago. This is before all of that stuff that's going on with Bill Cosby doing terrible things to women came out, way before then.
Well, and I thought so, because I believe Geraldo even said something about, when he was making his pitch for Vortex, something about the terrible winter that they'd had.
Oh, yes, that's correct. Yes, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I remember that when they started filming this, it might have even been over a year ago. So so when you think about it, right, because they do that last episode live, so they already know who the last two are, and that person's been waiting for over a year to do this last task, to do the last show.
Wow. They're going to look very different.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe somebody's put on 30 pounds. You never know.
They also will behave differently, because they'll have watched all of these edited episodes probably, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I would think so. Now, you would like to think that means that somebody's on their best behavior, but it also means that somebody could be going there with an axe to grind. Somebody could be watching something and just, you know, you could have – well, you know, I just think of, like, David Cassidy. I always will remember David Cassidy when he went back on the recap episode and was happy that Richard Hatch was in jail.
That's right.
Because he
had an
issue with him, and it's another – just like the Cake Boss of the DUI, I never get over that as well. Lots of things I'm not getting over with. Anyway, so you got to come up with a pie to impress the Cake Boss. And for some – they had a sweet pie and a savory pie. I don't know what the men came up with. Doesn't matter. The women – the reason I'm bringing this up, the women come up with their sweet pie as a – pear blueberry pie, which sounds unappealing to me. But then for the savory pie, that what's discussed is a taco pie.
Oh, right.
A taco pie or an enchilada pie, which honestly, I'm sitting there thinking, this is quite possibly the worst idea you could have come up with. A taco pie.
But Keisha,
yes,
to her credit, if you want to call it that, comes up with a great compromise, quote unquote, great compromise. She decides instead of the, because the battle is over whether or not to call it a taco pie or an enchilada pie. And so she goes, well, you know what? Let's just go ahead and call it the taco enchilada pie. If there's one thing I know about you, Dan, I know that you are a pie guy.
Yes, this is true. I am a pie guy. That's correct.
So wouldn't you at least want to try that kind of pie?
No. As a pie fan, as a pie lover, I was offended by all of their suggestions regarding tacos and enchiladas inside of a pie. That sounded awful. And I don't really know that you could call it a taco pie unless there's a taco shell involved. It's not really a taco, right? Isn't that what makes it the taco, is the taco shell?
Absolutely right. Yeah. Well, maybe you crunch up some Doritos and you drop them in there in the mix.
I tell you what, I am sure that once that was mentioned, you know, Taco Bell just started paying attention very heavily to the reaction that people were having. Yeah, that's right. All right. Once we make our pie selections, now we're out and we're selling and we're getting our donations in, and the men are just they're out the door. They are doing extremely well. They've got a line around the block. Geraldo is huddled in a corner on the phone a lot of the time. And, he does rub a few more people the wrong way. He tells Gilbert to go supervise the balloons.
Right. I'll tell you what. I had been Geraldo, I would have done something like that too. I mean, he was just being annoying. He was asking him about, you know, getting his prostate checked.
Yes, he was.
You know, I don't know. You know, he's trying to get stuff done. He's under some pressure. He's taking it seriously. Remember, he called that meeting at the very beginning that annoyed Jonas to make sure, once again, that everybody knew their roles. Remember?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that. You're right. Another problem with the Jonas brother. I got to tell you, all right? That Jonas brother there, that Kevin Jonas, he's got 4.75 million Twitter followers,
which he's very proud of, by the way.
He's very. I would be very proud of that too. But I have a lot less than that. I was live tweeting right under the Switching Channels podcast handle. So if anybody wants to tweet along, it's at @scpod. But I'm tweeting along and I'm watching the hashtag Celebrity Apprentice. So everything that's coming in for Celebrity Apprentice, which is a ton of tweets just flooding in all the time, right? So many of them are from his fans just in absolute support, talking about how he's killing it, talking about how they don't like Geraldo. Like, there was this huge Kevin Jonas support that was going on Twitter as I was watching this show. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, it's probably from the audience that he sort of serves, right? It's probably a whole bunch of 13-year-old girls that, you know, everything he says sounds great. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think Geraldo was doing anything that bad. I thought he was, again, he was coming across as a little pompous and arrogant to some of the people. But I overall didn't see a lot of evidence of that. I thought he was just trying to make sure that everybody was doing their job, and he was focused on calling people on the phone and bringing in the donations. And, you know, here's Gilbert, you know, doing his basically annoying comedy act in front of him.
Yes,
and
this is true.
And he's not just doing it in front of him. He's like participating. He's like trying to get him to like listen to him and be part of his show. And
yes,
go away. I'm trying to. I got a job to do, man.
Go supervise the balloon. It's just funny that's what he came. That's what he came up with for Gilbert to do. I'm guessing this is just the first thing that popped into his head.
Supervise
the balloons. Go over there. But you know what? It turned out well because Gilbert outside started, you know, making a fuss about it and getting attention.
Yes.
And honestly, Gilbert cracked me up the whole episode. I don't know.
He did.
He did you too. Okay. There's two kinds of people. Either you think he's funny or you think he's really annoying. It's one or the other.
And I've always been the first guy.
Yes, me too. Me too. Yeah. And I hope he sticks around just so he could be funny. I don't need him to really do anything else to just be funny. His participation, though, he started bringing in weird people like carnies and a Howard Stern lookalike. Like his contribution. Now, he did bring in some money, which was, of course, key. But he did bring in a very odd element of people to the event.
That he did. And I think it helped. And that Howard Stern lookalike, boy, it really looked like Howard Stern.
Oh, my God. It looked just like him. Yeah, it did. I was really impressed with that guy.
And now, who was that? Actually, Joe Piscopo, or was that a
no? That was Joe Piscopo.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Okay,
yeah, that was Joe Piscopo who was there. You know, I saw Joe Piscopo. Did I tell you how I saw Joe Piscopo at the Talkers convention?
And I don't know if he did.
Okay. All right, well, he was there because he's a talk show host in New Jersey, and he's incredibly tan. He's like he looks like he's been sleeping under a tanning bed for about 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you. Yeah, maybe that's why he didn't recognize the Joe Piscopo, because he was about 6 shades darker. Anyway, so the women, on the other hand, are doing considerably less. It is the kind of thing where you can just tell who's going to win based on how the lines are going and how the donations are coming in, right?
Right.
Like, was there ever any doubt that the men were going to take this?
Well, when it comes to shows like this, and you know, I also watch Survivor, and I know you're not a big watcher of that show, but you know, it's two teams against each other, and so you know, I'm always watching, like, okay, how are the producers trying to trick me so that I go, oh my gosh, I'm being surprised, you know? So that's in my head a little bit. So I'm definitely seeing that. And also, when Geraldo was bringing in the people, when they were showing the people that Geraldo brought in, like he brought in, you know, Bill O'Reilly. Well, didn't physically bring in Bill O'Reilly, but, you know, the money came from Bill O'Reilly.
Yep.
And then I believe that was Sean Hannity that was there,
yep,
right?
Yep, Sean Hannity was there. Yes, he sure was.
Well, when I was sitting on the couch, I was actually disappointed by the amount of money they brought in. And when I was sitting on the couch watching this with my wife, I was saying to her, well, I said, oh, well, Geraldo should have this hands down compared to Keisha, you know, because, I mean, all he has to do is call Bill O'Reilly, and I'm sure he gets $1 million from him or something like that. So, I mean, I was being a little, I was exaggerating a little bit. But when it was just $10,000, I was like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy that, you know, is probably, you know, worth like, you know, $300 million or something, you know. So, I don't know. I didn't think that was all that impressive. So it was still money, but that's what I thought.
Okay, but so listen, I know that they do little fake outs, and I'm always ready to be surprised when I watch shows like this. But it just seemed so tilted in the men's favor, you know, all the way. So by the time we got to the boardroom, I remember thinking, this is just so one-sided. I'm just waiting for them. All right, let's just get to it. Because I know the women are going to have to sit there and fight amongst each other. And Keisha's going to have to start, you know, she's going to have some explaining to do. Especially because here we can bring it up. She doesn't call Bill Cosby. She makes a bunch of calls.
Well,
and she doesn't call him. Now, this is now it's funny because I honestly think that NBC is so happy that she didn't call him. Because just imagine if he showed up with a check in his hand, and there he is on television, and he's buying pies, and he's taking pictures with a bunch of women.
Yeah.
NBC is just like, oh, thank God. Thank God he wasn't around. Right?
Yeah. Do you think that could have been a show killer? Could that have hurt the series?
I really don't know. I don't know what they would have done with that. I wonder if they would have edited out and they just would have mentioned that he showed up. I don't know. It's a real good question. I think if you know what? I think maybe they would have to really stress that this was filmed a year ago. I think they would have to go ahead and hey, listen, this is before all that stuff happened. This is before we all hated the guy, just so you know.
I'm not sure that I'm with you there, only because these allegations have been around for so long that if they did that, then they opened themselves up to saying, well, you know, then you were cowardly then, you know, then you're saying you were going to go down the road of the coward because you knew that these allegations were out there and you still, and as long as it wasn't super public, you weren't going to make an issue out of it. You know what I mean?
Well, that's how we've all been with Bill Cosby, though. I mean, it's not until October when that comedian starts talking about it that anybody actually cared about any of these allegations. So,
right.
You know, they would have had to have done something, don't you think? I mean, Bill Cosby.
Well, I think that they must have had to have a lot of conversation anyway about this first episode, right? Like, do we keep this or do we not? What do we do?
Right.
Probably it's like high level conversations and. You know, maybe they actually did cut some stuff out that they would have otherwise left in, you know, for all we know.
You know, I'll tell you what. If he came and he gave a significant check, they probably would have to have it in there. But they probably would have just cut it down real quick. Just like, all right, here he is. You know this happened. And that's it. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So we get end up. We're done with our selling pies. And now we're in the boardroom, right?
Okay. Wait. Before we go there.
Okay. What do you got?
Just to go back to the thing you were sort of saying about the difference between the way it looked like the men were doing things compared to the women, you know, I feel like we were just talking mostly about the money aspect, and I think you would agree with me on this, and maybe this is even what you were trying to say, is that that it was just the overall production of the two businesses, if you will. Like the men all looked pretty busy. Except for that one time when Gilbert Gottfried came up and had to be told to go supervise the balloons.
Yes.
They all looked like they were making working contributions. And then you go over to the women's side and you got one girl making a pie to slam it into another girl's face.
That's true. But wait, wasn't somebody paying them for that? Wasn't that like part of the charity?
That could be. I was confused about that because I thought it was a person coming in to do it. And then it wasn't. It was just between the two girls. Is that right?
Well, yeah. I think somebody had come in and said, look, I'll donate if you hit her in the face with a pie. I'll make a donation. And then what the other girl did was, I'm going to hit her first.
Okay. But even still, it's not like these two – we're talking about two girls that were busy, you know, super busy and, you know, something down to go ahead and do that.
Were like taking pictures or something. Yes.
Right. I mean, they just did not look nearly as busy, whereas on the men's side, everybody looked like they were making a serious contribution and working up a sweat of some kind. And like there was that one girl, was it the Olympian? I think it was the Olympian that was like basically just greeting people as they walked in.
Yep, I think so. Yep.
Right. So like that was really not impressive. And there was some criticism that Keisha was getting, not directly, but indirectly in the confessionals, where they were talking about how she was taking other people's jobs away from them and not making sure that everybody was given a role and was busy.
Yes. Yes.
So there was definitely that difference, and I think that's the kind of thing you were trying to say before. I just wanted to make that clear. You're right. There's a definite difference between the way the men performed overall, from the financial part to the actual work of selling and, you know, making and selling the pies, to, you know, compared to the women.
Mm-hmm. All right. So are you ready to move on to the boardroom?
You betcha.
All right. Let's get to the boardroom.
Oh, yeah.
And yet I got to think every time – we get the list of people who are willing to go on Celebrity Apprentice. It's as though they've never seen the show before. And in fact, I'm pretty sure Geraldo had not, because after he watched the boardroom, after he watched the women in the boardroom by themselves, he was like, "Whoa, boy, that was intense." It was as though he had never seen it before. If I was a celebrity, I would never do this show, and it's because the boardroom is so brutal, and it just feels like you're getting a beating, like you're going in – you're going into the principal's office, you know, it's, and you haven't done your homework for weeks. You know, it's just that whole awful being called to the carpet business that's going on. Like, I don't know why anyone would sign up for that.
I don't know either. And I think it's because of what you just said. They're sort of glib about it. But I want to say one thing about Geraldo, you know, in the way you just sort of used him as an example. He probably hasn't watched the show a whole lot, but I sort of give him a pass because he's a journalist, you know, and he's, you know, and of course he brings it up constantly throughout this show, but it's true. You know, so he has to stay up on current events. He's interviewing people. He's traveling all the time. I don't know how much time he has to be watching, you know, reality shows and stuff like that. And, you know, that's just kind of, you know, when you're dodging bullets, you know, and grenades and stuff like that, are you thinking, boy, I better make it back to my bungalow by 8 o'clock so that I don't miss Celebrity Apprentice?
Are they still sending Geraldo out to cover the war?
He has been.
When was it?
I don't know about, I don't know about
recently.
He was there for Baghdad.
Oh, was he really?
I believe he was there for the fall of Baghdad, or around that time, anyway.
Okay, all right, yeah, because he kept talking about how he's a war reporter over and over. And, you know, I'm starting to feel a little journalism bias on your part. Joey is a journalist himself, by the way. We should point that out.
Former journalist.
Is a former journalist himself. So there's a little bias going on there, Joe.
True. Right. And but of course, I was never nearly at the level that he was, and I just know how busy I was able to get sometimes and lose myself here and there. And I would hear about some of these shows and, you know, there's a limit. I could watch 3 shows a season, maybe something like that at the most. You know, I can't, you know, and even then I might not be very good at some of them. I still think that, but outside of him, I think you're right. Everybody else, you know, don't come on to these shows, you know, and be so looking so oblivious, you know, clueless, you know, act like you've watched a show before so that you're not, you know, completely overwhelmed.
Yeah, you know it's going to be brutal when you get in there. Rumor has it, by the way, that that Joey is a former journalist so he could watch more Celebrity Apprentice.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. I didn't want that to get out, but I guess it is.
Well, you know, listen, we're here to expose all of the truth behind Celebrity Apprentice. On the air and off the air. So, all right, the men get in there, and here's what I notice about the grilling. Because, you know, they start asking questions, but it's a grilling that goes on, right? And and it's funny because they know Geraldo won, but they are still going to put the screws to him anyway. It's such evilness that goes on with this show, you know? You know, Geraldo, who do you think performed the worst? Who brought in the least amount of money? Shouldn't you get rid of someone? They do all of that. And at first, Geraldo is doing his best to not criticize anyone or throw anyone under the bus. Did you notice that he seemed to be really trying to be, listen, everybody did a nice job. I was happy with everybody. You know, he seemed like, look, let's wait to find out if we won before I have to throw anyone under the bus. But right now, I'm fine.
So here's what I think about that. As I've watched this show, I have not watched every single season like you have, but I've watched a bunch of them. And as I've watched this show, I've always noted that. You know, like Trump comes in and tries to get names out, start throwing people under the bus. And even Pierce even came up with a phrase that you better start throwing some buses around or something like that. Remember?
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did, which is great because that phrase makes no sense. Throw buses. You throw people under buses. You don't throw buses around. You're not the Hulk.
Well, if you throw a bus and, you know, you hit somebody with it, they probably are under it.
You know, it's just good to know that Pierce finally found a job. That's all I can say. Good for you, Pierce.
Did he look fatter and older to you?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
He definitely looked fatter and older. You are correct. Yes. And
a little grayer.
I forgot about it, but yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, wow, he looks like he's not – obviously, he's not doing so much right now other than maybe eating a little bit. Yeah, that's funny.
When did when did his show end?
I think at the beginning of last year it ended. I think so.
No, not really that long ago?
Yeah. Okay. No, last year is 2014, so we're in 2015. So like a year ago, I would say.
Oh, I thought it lasted longer, but that's okay. But nonetheless, I mean, yeah, he well, it must have, because if this was shot around that time, maybe it was shortly after, you know, he stopped working for CNN.
Oh, maybe. You know, I can go ahead and look that up while you make your point that you're going to make, whatever it is.
My point. What's my point?
Were you not making a point? Oh, you're. Wait, I guess your only point was the fact that he looked older and fatter.
No. My point was when you talked about how Trump wants to come in there and really like have you throw names out there, right? He really pushes you hard to do that, right?
Yes.
So I've always noticed that there are two people. I didn't feel like that was new this season. Trump always really tries to get you to really push hard for those names.
No, no.
One of the differences this season was that I thought that Pierce was really, really, really trying to get people to do that.
Yes, he certainly was.
Yeah, so I thought that was a bit of a difference. But what I think is that you have two different kinds of people on Apprentice, you know, in these situations. You have the kind of person, you know, everybody's at first going to be the same person. They're going to try to deflect that and say, oh, I don't know, you know, everybody did a great job. There's always that first wave, that first line of defense, you know. But to Trump, that's a shower curtain. He's just going to push that aside, and then he's going to really get to you. Right?
Yes, yes.
So then it reveals what kind of person you are. And there's only two. You're the kind of person that's going to cave pretty quickly and cough up those names in a way that's not very cool. And we saw that with Keisha. And you're going to be like Geraldo, where you're going to try to, you know, there's no way around it, but you're still going to be as diplomatic as possible.
Yes.
And he says, okay, well, listen, if you have to go by the arithmetic, then you have to go with Lorenzo first. And then he got Ian wrong, even though Ian had said, they already said that he raised 7,000.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So he got that wrong.
Let me ask you about that. Let me ask you about that real quick. Ian says they're going over, and the lowest amounts is Lorenzo Lamas, who brought in a whopping $100, which is amazing. Which is honestly, I think it would have been better had he brought in nothing. I think that would have been better.
He said they were still crunching the numbers, Danny.
Hagen, as though, you know, some schleppy guy with glasses is going to pop into the door. Wait a minute, we've got an update. Hang on a second. New totals are in. Lorenzo Lamas, $125. You know, there was going to be a new total. That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I feel a little bit bad for him because he was honest in his confessional in the kitchen when he said he knew he didn't have any contacts.
Oh, I felt totally bad for him. He looked so sad in the boardroom the whole time. I felt really bad for Lorenzo, even though we're making fun of him. I totally empathized for him during that entire boardroom sequence. By the way, Pierce Morgan Live ended March 28th, 2014.
Okay.
So there you go.
So, okay. All right.
I'm not sure when they, you know, it's not like I was watching Pierce Morgan Live, so maybe he was looking grayer and fatter by the end of that show, because the end of that show was so coming. It was so obvious and apparent that this was not going to last. So maybe by the end, it's all right. You know what? I'm going to go down to pie face all the time, and I'm not going to color my hair anymore. And F it. Maybe that was his problem. I don't know.
Maybe he spent more time at pie face than they actually showed.
Yes, exactly. He knew his way around the store very well.
He actually did. Yes. You know, so I felt like then the difference between with what Geraldo did compared to what Keisha did was night and day. Because when it was time for her to cough up names, she said two names, and she had like an attitude about it, right?
Yes.
You know, so it's like okay. You're the two people who said something about me, then I'm going to just take you both in with me. You know, whereas Geraldo, you know, he was trying to still be diplomatic about it. And I think, you know, so I think that those are the two kinds of people that, you know, I'm saying that exist.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would say he handled it pretty well. Geraldo handled it pretty well as far as, you know, the boardroom grilling that he got. But although we need to address this. This needs to be addressed. How much money did Terrell Owens bring in?
It was $750.
$750. That's ridiculous.
Right. Yep.
If you're bringing in that small amount, you need to call up somebody that you know and say, listen, I'm going to give you like $2,000. It's got to be at least four figures. I'm going to give you $5,000. You come down the next day and then donate it in and just say you're doing it for me. You know, you got to do that because it looks so bad. It just looks so bad.
It's ridiculous and it looks bad. I agree with everything you said. But knowing what we know about Terrell Owens, he's not a guy that has taken care of relationships, or else he would still be playing in the NFL right now.
This is true. Right? Yes, this is true. It's possible that he cannot call up anybody in the city of Philadelphia and ask for help, because that's not going to happen. I will totally agree with you. But if that's the case, do exactly what I said. He probably has a couple of grand lying around that he could donate for a charity and have somebody do it under his name. Right?
Well, if that's true.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that Pierce brought up, trying to get Geraldo to hate. He tried to get him to hate somebody on his own team. I think it was Lorenzo. For holding on to the one sugar daddy, for when it's your turn to be the project manager. And if that's true, then we'll see that, with Terrell. And if that is true, then you have to play it that way, right? You can't just give it all to the first project manager that comes along.
Absolutely. There does need to be some kind of holding back to an extent.
Absolutely.
True, yes, but I mean, you got to give something. I mean, $750 is basically he should be very happy that Lorenzo Lamas was around with his $100.
Well, I'm even wondering, like, Lorenzo Lamas with his $100, when he said that there were calculations going on, I think what that means is that he actually took somebody's $5 bill when they bought a pie.
Oh yeah, I thought so too, because he said that some of his fans showed up, and I'm sure he does have them. I'm sure he does have some fans from Renegade who probably did show up and bought a pie and were there to see him. And that's what he's talking about. Well, I had people. I'm going to get – I don't know what that would add up to. Probably not that much.
Right.
All right. So anyway.
Oh, wait. Dan, we have to talk about the poster.
You are so right. I had wanted to talk about that. You're right. Geraldo comes up with the poster for his team selling pies. And it's a big, giant picture of Geraldo. And then next to it is a bunch of smaller pictures of everybody else on the team. And there's a smaller one of him, too. He's on the poster twice.
I didn't notice that the first time.
I didn't either.
It wasn't until Jonas, I think it was Jonas that was critical as usual. It wasn't until he talked about it and I was, oh, yeah, look at that. Now it is really bad.
Yes, it's totally bad. Yes, he put himself on the poster. Not only did he put himself giant as though it's Geraldo and these other guys, he put himself with the other guys.
Yes. Get as much Geraldo as you can.
Yeah, didn't look good for him.
It did not look good for him, because I'm sitting here trying to defend him as if watching, because I'm such a fan of the guy. I know that's going to open me up to criticism.
Oh, yes, it will.
That's fine. I don't care. I think he's got a great heart and he's done great work. But anyway, I'm such a fan of the guy, and I hate the fact that people view him as so pompous. But that there's no question about that. That's pompous, right?
Oh, it's undoubtedly pompous. Yes,
no question about it.
Of course,
it's very arrogant. It's very arrogant.
Yes,
and it's oblivious, because how do you? And he did come across as oblivious in this show. How could he not think, or predict that could possibly be perceived as arrogant?
I don't know. I mean, not only is that going to be arrogant, you also have to take in mind that you're dealing with a bunch of other celebrities. So you're dealing with a bunch of other people who have egos. And the one thing you don't want to do is step on them. And what that does is step all over them. It's a big shoe on top of all. He might as well have been stepping on everybody.
Yeah.
In the poster.
I agree. Yeah. And I also think that strategically, he's not the best choice to be. If you have to have someone be the big face there, it should be Jonas.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Yes.
Right.
No doubt
about it. So we didn't see the conversation, about the poster, which could have been interesting. Right. Like it would have been 10 seconds of him saying, yeah, let's also have me there. Let's have me there. Right?
I'm going to do something here that's probably not a wise thing to do. I bet you he didn't realize that he was going to be on there twice. I bet you he was like, all right, put me big and then put everybody else. And then when they put I'm just guessing that they just took everybody else. It was like, okay, here's the whole cast, boom, and stuck it up there. That's just a guess. I don't even know. Okay. I don't even know. But if that was a story, it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay, but that poster is phenomenal, and I actually want to get one for my basement.
Get him to sign it. That'd be great.
So any listeners that are out there, if you want to tweet us, and Dan, I'm sure you have some tweet handle people can find.
There you go. Yeah, sure. Send a tweet to it's at @scpod. Do that one. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. If you want to do that, let us know how we can get a copy of that. Man, I would love it.
All right. So we spent a lot of time talking about the men in the boardroom, even though they end up winning. The women win the Cake Boss Challenge. He liked their sweet pie, their pear blueberry pie, and they get the $25,000 add-on to their total. But the men win, and here's the first thing. Here's what I noticed, though. As soon as you found out the men win, Kevin Jonas shakes Geraldo's hand as though, like, we did it. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because this entire time, we have been getting the confessional cut to with Kevin Jonas over and over again, talking about how he doesn't like Geraldo doing this. He doesn't like Geraldo that, like over and over again. And at some point, I remember thinking, look, I get it. You don't like the guy. I'm a little tired of your complaints about Geraldo because I already understand them. I would have appreciated somebody else echoing the same sentiments. Because then I get, okay, this is – all right, now everybody is thinking this. But if it's just the same guy, it's like, okay, this guy has a problem with that guy, and I already know that. Don't need it over and over again. But anyway, as soon as – when they announced it, Kevin, he turned right to him and shook his hand. Like, hey, good job.
You mean when they were still sitting down?
When they were still sitting there, yeah.
Okay, I did see that. Yes, I did see that. That's right.
All right, so then it's the women, and they're all in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
And you just know it's going to go so bad for Keisha. But what also came into play and is always – this seems to happen a lot on the show where it's this kind of a challenge, the fundraising challenge. It's either the project manager or it's that other person who brought in $0, and that would be Kate Gosselin. And there was a spotlight put right on her for the fact that she had brought in nothing.
And she had the mouth going.
She did have the mouth going. This is true, yes. Not only did you bring in nothing, but we also are aware of your presence here. If you brought in nothing, just stay quiet. Just don't say anything. Maybe they won't notice.
Terrell Owens had very little to say.
You're right. Right? Yeah. Yes. He said next to nothing. Yes, this is correct.
And Lorenzo didn't offer anything. He only spoke when spoken to.
Yes.
The guy that brought in $100 was pretty quiet.
Yep. That's right. That's how you do it, people. That's how you work. If you don't have anything to say, unless you have something to really crow about in the boardroom, keep your trap shut.
Absolutely.
Good Lord.
And I thought that Keisha was in trouble. It was pretty interesting how quickly she got in trouble. And I think it was Sean Johnson.
Yes,
well.
It was.
Is that her last name?
Yep, Sean Johnson. Sean Johnson, yep.
She quickly threw her under the bus right away. She said, listen, I don't really exactly know how this is going to go, but I saw the Twitter followers that Jonas has, and I just thought we weren't organized. But that came out fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is interesting because ultimately when it was time to go down to the for Keisha to pick the other two people, Sean escaped.
She did. You're right. I would, and it was the thing where Trump was asking, well, do you think you won? And she was saying, no, I don't think we won. And I remember thinking, that is always such a bad thing to do. Just lie
absolutely
in that spot because it looks bad. It looks bad to Trump. It looks bad to the rest of your teammates. You know, it could lead to other problems. You know, it could get you brought back into the boardroom. But you know what? She totally got away with all of that. Yeah.
Yep. I'm totally with you. You have to exhibit some sign of strength, you know, even if it's false. You know, you can't just say, oh, I know we sucked.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, that's basically falling on your own sword there, and he'll kick you out of there for that. But instead, we got brought back into the boardroom. Kate Gosselin, which you knew was going to happen because she brought in nothing. Yep. And then Jamie Anderson, the other gold medalist, got brought back in, which seemed a little odd because they basically, even though she barely brought in anything, right?
Yeah.
But they gave her credit for the pie, and the pie won them the $25,000. So that was a total miscalculation on Keisha's part to bring her back in because Trump, in his brain, had already given her credit for $25,000. So bringing her back in, you weren't going to be able to sell him on getting rid of her.
Absolutely right. And I think that's the thing you're saying right there. That's a key skill you have to have, is that when you're under fire in the boardroom And it's time for you, as the project manager, the leader of the losing team, I don't think you just bring in who you think are the people most deserving. You have to think, you have to put your emotions aside, and you have to put in the two people that Trump is most likely to pick over you to get fired.
Yeah.
And she didn't do that at all. She didn't read it that way. She didn't see it that way. She went with something else.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think the only other thing that she could, maybe if she brought in somebody as an ally and the two of them could have ganged up on Kate Gosselin to get her out. Maybe that was the other thing that she could have done, but bringing in Jamie Anderson was definitely a mistake, and Keisha got the boot. But you know what was interesting? When Keisha gets fired, and you could just, you see it coming. You know, there's always that moment where you know, okay, here it is, where it just
And I'm sorry to cut you off, but it's just, you know, it's like, okay, he's starting to get on a roll. Well, first of all, the biggest sign that happened today was he was going to donate $25,000 to her charity.
Yes, that's true. That is correct. And when he said that, I was like, oh, you're done. It's over. It's coming right now.
And he's still talking after that. And I think you have to jump in and you have to interject. You have to interrupt, because once that train starts moving, it's all over for you, man.
It is so funny because that is exactly how it is. It's like a train leaving the station.
It is
the "you're getting fired" speech that he starts at the end of every episode. Well, you know, you didn't do this. You should have done that. You know, I think you're great. I think you're wonderful. But you're fired. You know, it's a thing that happens. It's a whole speech that he starts, and it's you know, you just feel it. Oh, it's here it is. You're done. And you're right. Nobody ever jumps up and interjects and says, wait a minute. No, don't get to that point yet. I know it's coming. You know what? Maybe it's because nobody watches this show who appears on it. Maybe that's what it is. They don't know about this trick that you and I are aware of.
But it also may be impossible to stop the train, too.
It may be.
It probably is. I mean, because at that point, you have probably maxed out all of your best arguments. So you probably don't have something great left for him to go, oh, well, why didn't you say that before? You probably don't have that left. Mm-hmm. That smart bomb is, you know, all your smart bombs have been used. But another thing that I noticed was, so the women, and I don't know if I've noticed this before. Let's see if you think you have.
Okay.
Let's see. So there's 8 women. Right?
Right.
At least 4 of them at some point were crying.
Oh, yeah. The best quote of the night was Trump yelling, "Get a Kleenex," for Vivica A. Fox.
Oh, yes.
I wish I had a drop of it. It was so great. Like the way look at it. Oh, we need to get her a Kleenex. Get her a Kleenex. Like he's just yelling to somebody off stage. Maybe he's yelling it to Pierce. Yeah, get her a Kleenex. Go.
When he when he yelled it, way he yelled it, I wasn't sure if he was yelling at her or if he really was yelling at somebody else to get her a Kleenex.
Oh, no, I think he was. He was yelling. Like, he was yelling at somebody else to get her one. Get a Kleenex.
Okay. It was pretty awesome. Okay. Yeah, so Vivica was a mess.
Yes. Unnecessarily. She didn't need to be obviously crying. She was never Keisha, in any danger at all.
Mess.
Keisha was a mess. Yes.
Did Kate
I'm not sure. I don't. If she did, it was very little. I don't think so. I think she handled it pretty well.
Okay, but did Lisa? I mean, there was at least one other woman that did.
Hmm. Well, then maybe.
Sean. I think Sean did.
Okay.
I think Sean did. The other one from one of the housewives from Atlanta. She
Kenya.
Got a little.
Kenya Moore.
She got a little emotional. Yeah, she got a little emotional. So half of their team is getting emotional in the very first episode.
Yeah, it's going to be ugly for the women this year, I think.
It is. It is. And I think it's – but you know what? Let me ask you this, Danny. In the past – and I've seen these episodes. I've seen the other seasons, but I don't remember how they've gone down. So do they always do men versus women?
Yes. Initially,
don't the women always get hammered? Or
you know what? I remember there being a couple of seasons that the women were doing really well. That the women were doing really well, and the last couple though, it seems like they've been getting hammered. Like the last maybe 2 or 3 seasons, they have. So I've seen it go both ways. Is I guess the answer to that question. But yeah, it does. Well, okay. I will tell you, it does feel like the women are going to have a real tough time.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a rock star in there except for maybe Lisa.
On the women's side, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the pull of the Real Housewives of Atlanta does for people, because it's not on my radar. But that doesn't mean it's not on other people's radar. Obviously, you know.
I didn't mean it that way. I mean, like, rock star in terms of being able to be successful on the show.
Oh, okay. Like who's
like a person
go
that's
far.
Together? Maybe Vivica will be good.
Vivica and Lisa, yeah, those would be the two that I would think could go far. Everybody else does not seem like they got it in it.
Right.
All right. So on the men's side, who do you see going far here, Joe?
Well, going far right now, I mean, Geraldo's going to go far.
Yes, I think so too.
I think he's safe. Because even if he annoys people the rest of the way, unless he makes the dumb mistake of being a project manager, he only has to wait another minimum seven episodes before he has to really step up again, right?
Yes.
But, you know, of course, he could decide to go again earlier than that and he'd put himself at risk again. But he is going to annoy some people here and there along the way. But even though he's going to annoy some people, he's probably not going to pull his own weight. He's probably going to work hard. You know, he's not going to flake out. He's just going to annoy people. Maybe he'll make a mistake. Maybe he'll, you know, he didn't buy the right equipment, you know, or something like that. Maybe that'll happen. But I don't think he's going to be knocked out for the next seven episodes. I just cannot imagine that he's going to that way. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I think Geraldo's going to – if I got to pick right now, my money's on Geraldo to win.
Oh, wow.
I'm throwing it on the table. Episode one, boom, Geraldo winning Celebrity Apprentice.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. What do you say to that?
Mm-hmm. That I hadn't thought about who could win, but on the men's side, I would say that Jonas is probably the best challenger.
Yes, I absolutely. I think so too.
Probably, although I'll tell you what. So you said that the crab guy, where is he? The Deadliest Catch, is that what he is?
Yes, Sig Hansen from Deadliest Catch. Yes,
never heard of him.
Well, clearly, you don't watch Deadliest Catch.
Clearly, I don't. Is that a Discovery Show channel?
Okay, let's just say it is, since I don't really know, because I don't watch it either.
Okay. Well, he could also go far. There's a lot that's unknown about him. His name didn't come up at all in the boardroom. I don't think he said a word in the boardroom, right?
No, I don't think he did either. And by the way, that is on the Discovery Channel. We can confirm that.
Okay. And I think that we have no idea how much money he raised, right?
No, we don't. It would be nice if there was, you know, like a scorecard at the end, and you found out how much everybody did.
It really would.
Yeah, I would like that.
That would be cool. Or if you could at least go to the Apprentice website for that extra, content or something like that. You know, but I think though he wasn't an idiot. Like he was sort of like the Gary Busey of the men's side, but he's not like the freaky, you know, without the freaky personality.
Oh, wait.
You know? Go ahead.
Is it because he sort of looks like Gary Busey?
yes, exactly. It is exactly like that. He sort of kind of, has that.
Yeah, yeah. He's in that mold of human, look, I understand. He's in the Gary Busey mold of physicality. Yes, so this is true.
Yes, yeah. So I think he could be a dark horse, and we have a lot to learn about him and his abilities.
Yep.
But I think only Jonas and that guy could challenge him. And I think on the women's side, I have very powerful feelings for both Vivica and Lisa. So I think those are the top five. Am I willing to, you know, put it all out there?
I
thought about it like you did.
All right. All right. That's fine.
But I'm not the radio star you are. So, you know, I'm
on.
Oh,
for goodness sake. Just stop it.
Let me get my bearings, man. Let me get my bearings.
All right. All right. I think, are we ready to wrap this one up here? Are we done here tonight?
Well, who do you think was the performer of the episode?
The performer of the episode. You know, that's a good, like, who stands out the most, right? who stood out?
Because we talked about this before, you know, off the air a couple times. Like, going on to this show, we touched on that in this episode tonight, in our show tonight. We talked about going on to the show is most of the time a bad idea.
Yes.
Because if you're a celebrity, even if you're an A-lister or a D-lister, it doesn't matter. You have spent all your life as a celebrity, like crafting and perfecting what you want your image to be. And then you go on to this show, and now we get to see what you really are when you're put into situations that are social situations that are challenging for you that you can't really, really prepare for. Right? Your publicist can't save you here. You know, so those are the people we're talking about, the people that, you know, do they survive with their reputation intact or better?
Mm-hmm.
Or do they leave smaller and their image damaged and dented, you know? And I think that a couple of people took hits tonight, and I would say clearly Keisha,
yes.
She came into tonight's episode as a mystery. You know, like still the cute Cosby kid. And I know that she was on some show like that. I'm sure your daughter probably watched, you know, on one of those channels, the Nicktoons or whatever. I don't know what. I know she was on some show. But she's not been mainstream. And when she was mainstream, she was the cute kid and the Cosby kid and all that stuff. And so now we get to see her, you know, as a fully formed adult. And she steps up, but she's the project manager and she's kind of a mess. Still a little kid. And, you know, ultimately, that's right. I mean, man. She's still a little kid.
Still a little kid. That's rough. That's rough.
Yeah, you know, and I like her. I mean,
she's going to be on the Today Show. She's going to be defending herself on the Today Show tomorrow. Are you aware of that? Did you see that?
Oh my gosh, yes. And what did you think about the way she repped that? You know, when she was in the car, she said, "Make sure you watch this." Do you think that's a thing they're going to do all season, or you think it was just her?
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up doing that all season long. They'll probably do it to as many people as they can get for that. But it is one of those things that lets you know that when they're walking out and they're getting into that limo, that's not happening right then. That's filmed later. You know, I already knew that, but it's just for the. Like, okay, clearly this was tomorrow. All right, fine.
Right.
Yeah, obviously, they just filmed that. That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
But I watched the Today Show anyway, so I will probably catch that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I mean, you know, right, I hope that she lives up to what she said, which is that she's going to really, like, let it out.
Yeah, so, okay, so Keisha definitely not look well. And also, really, even though not a lot happened with him, Lorenzo Lamas bringing in $100 doesn't look well because it just, oh, I didn't realize you have that little pull in the world. That's what it told me. Oh, wow. You're right. Okay. I mean, that's how it is. I was not aware. I could not tell you what I thought he would. I have no idea what he would have been able to. Like, if you asked me beforehand.
Right.
As far as who looked really good, Geraldo kind of looks good. I thought he looked good in the boardroom. I thought he handled that really well. I think Kevin Jonas asserted himself a lot. You know, I wasn't happy with all of his Geraldo bashing, but he came across as someone who was capable. And whenever it is his time to be project manager, I'm now expecting you to do well because you talked a good game.
That's right. And so I don't really know. I'm totally agreeing with your choices. You know, all of the other men, outside of Lorenzo definitely performed the worst, although he worked hard. But yeah, I mean, coming up with only $100 and then he compounds it by saying, well, I'm not really sure. And, you know, those numbers are still coming in and the calculations are happening. And so that, you know, that squirming, you know, instead of just being like, you know, the way Tio had it. Listen, man, I didn't bring it nothing. Right, it's like, listen, it was $900, I think, you know, and actually it was lower. Still, it was like he wasn't making a big deal out of it, you know.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, Lorenzo Lamas looks the worst on the fellas, and the guy that looks the best, I think, is probably Geraldo. Mm-hmm. But if you're a Jonas fan, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot more Jonas fans than Geraldo fans,
yes,
then I bet they loved the way he handled himself.
I'm sure they did. I mean, based on what I saw on Twitter, they were over the moon with how he was. They thought he was kicking ass. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, you show him this and that, right?
Yes.
Is it that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You show him, Kevin. You're Kevin. I'm so proud of you. You're doing so well tonight. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, you show that old guy.
Yeah, exactly. Him and his creepy mustache. Nobody likes that guy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. So I think I agree with you that it is probably Geraldo in terms of our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Jonas is right there and probably wins the fan vote.
All right. All right, let's wrap this one up. Let's get out of here. I've had enough of this tonight. All right, so we'll be doing our next show is going to be coming sometime after the next Celebrity Apprentice, which airs, which is going to be on Monday, January 6th. So I think we're going to have probably our next one out. That would be Tuesday on the 7th, talking about what went down then. I don't have an email. If you want to send an email, send one to me, dan@talkradiox.com. If you have any comments or any questions, or if you want to tell me that you disagree with Joey, feel free to do that. Other than that, say goodnight to everybody for us, Joe.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah, that was it.